Ron Cohen, the president and COO of one of my favorite places on the entire planet and outer space included, Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Good to be here.
So how in the world does a guy who goes to law school and starts practicing law end up, I guess, first owning a resort and then renting Squaw Valley? How did that happen?
Well, there's no easy answer to that question. It took place over years. You know, I grew up in Southern California. My parents were public school teachers, and we camped. That's what we did. And so before I, you know, when I was born, essentially, very quickly thereafter, we were out camping and spent summers as a kid, you know, in the VW van and then in the mini motorhome, touring around the Western U.S., going to mountain destinations. National parks, national forests. We would typically start the summer out in Kings Canyon at Grant Grove, stay there for a couple weeks, and then we ended up going out more broadly. And so I grew up, you know, all my sort of free time in the mountains. When I got older, I got into Boy Scouts, and I had a very active troop in Chatsworth, and we backpacked, and so we start with training hikes and ultimately end up with a long-term hike, typically in the Sierra, but not always. And so I was in the mountains doing that, and I loved that. It just being out for days at a time really, you know, talked to me. It pulled me in. It was where I felt happy. So when I went to college, I went to law school, came back. I worked at a big firm in downtown LA, and, you know, I got into skiing. I first started skiing in high school with our ski club. Our high school had a really good ski club, and we'd get in the bus and go skiing. And so that all kind of came together. And when I was had a job and some money, I would I'd spend my time particularly going to Mammoth, like so many Southern Californians do. So I, you know, every weekend I could, I'd go to Mammoth. And whether it was summer or winter, and I wasn't looking for a job at the time. I had a really good job back in 1999, and I happened to be flipping through the trade paper on a Friday afternoon, just BSing with a colleague of mine. And I saw an ad for a job in Mammoth, and I thought, man, that'd be pretty cool, And I applied for it and ended up getting the job and packed up a U-Haul and moved there.
And you left L.A.?
Yeah, I left L.A.
Uh-huh.
It really wasn't hard to do. took way longer to pack the truck than to make the decision. Moved to Mammoth in 1999, started working for a small law firm. And, you know, from there, I did work for small businesses and I did work for the ski area. For Mammoth Mountain Ski Area, as an outside attorney, and so that was great. Really enjoyed it. And one of my clients was a small business up at Tioga Pass, up at 9,600 feet on the Sierra Crest, just outside the eastern entrance of Yosemite. And they had wanted to force the phone company to bring them a phone line. The place had no phone line. Cell phones didn't work there, still don't. There was really no means of communication. You had to get in the car and drive either a mile and a half one way up to the closest phone or down the hill about 6 or 7 miles to get a cell phone. And so there were all kinds of things that happened up there, and they really felt they should have a phone. And so we carried out a proceeding with the Public Utilities Commission, and we lost. The judge said, you know, Verizon, you should really put a phone in for this place.
You think?
For all these reasons, but I can't force you to do it. And
so the phone didn't happen?
No, phone never happened. Ugh. And but I found out they were for sale. I'd been skiing in Mammoth. I had friends from LA that I was part of a, you know, group of people who skied all the time from when I had been driving up on weekends. And we were standing in line one day at the ski area at a lift, and one of our friends who was kind of a ringleader said, you know, we need to find another place to ski. This place is just too crowded. It's only going to get more crowded. And I said, well, I know of a place where there's a lot of space. You know, it's just, there's no lifts. And, you know, he said, well, tell me more about it. By the time we got to the top of chair 12, which mm-hmm. is still an old, fixed grip double, we had hatched a plan to buy the place and have our own, not only just an operating business, but a place where we could go backcountry skiing and have a lot of space. And our plan was that I'd run it. And so it really went from there. Life changed again completely.
That's awesome.
I moved up there shortly after that and started running the place.
So you started running Squaw Valley a year ago, and what an epic year. There's the new president and COO, and as a welcoming gift, Mother Nature dumps more snow than we've had in probably 15 years right onto your resort. It's a blessing and a curse, I guess. Talk about that.
Yeah, mostly blessing.
Uh-huh. You think?
Yeah, so I got here in April of 2018, mm-hmm. and, you know, got to finish up the season, which was, you know, had been a drought year until things, fortune kind of changed in March of that year. And, you know, and we got around, we did our summer work, lots of planning, got ready. And of course, that's one of the things about the ski business is you get a redo every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot of businesses like that. And, patiently and hopefully awaits the snow. And last year we got hammered, record February, near record totals. And, that's just all good. You know, it comes with all kinds of issues when you have that much snow to manage and everything that goes with it. But they're almost all, really good issues. And so it's funny the way you said it, that Mother Nature gifted us.
Surprise!
I would say that too. When I got here, when we were going through the year, people would say, "Man, you really brought good luck with you."
Uh huh.
And I was like, "No, no, no! It's got nothing to do with me because next year it'll be a drought, and I don't know.
But you know what? I think a lot of people don't realize the effect that a good snow season versus a not so good season, the effect on the entire economy up that way. You know, when you think about it, the people who put the chains on, the people who work in the stores, the people who work in the hotels and the restaurants, the ski resorts, you know, good snow brings in huge commerce, and not such good years are a huge financial challenge to the entire community. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's a central part of how we look at the business. Mm-hmm. Our view on the business is that this business is entirely about people, and we actually go through our planning process to the point of dividing our people into really three big groups: our guests, our employees, and our financial stakeholders. And when we talk about financial stakeholders, we talk about the obvious ones like our owners and mm-hmm. our banks. And people like that who have invested in our business. But we also talk about people like the tenants in our village who've risked their own personal capital to open a business.
Mm-hmm.
And the better we do, the more it snows, the better a guest experience we provide, the better they do. And we talk about it even more broadly, our communities in general. For Squaw Alpine, as far as we can tell, we're the third largest employer in Placer County.
Well, yeah. Talk about that. It's an entire village. It, you know, when people ask how long the lifts are going to stay open into the spring, I tell them, you got to remember, if we go skiing, they have to have lift operators. They have to have people at the ticket booths. They have to have people cooking. They have to have security. I mean, there's how many people work at the resorts?
Yeah, so last year we had, and this year about the same, we'll have about 2,600 employees. And wow. That's a very big company, and it's a very diverse group of employees. We have year-round employees who have careers here, mm-hmm. some who've been working here for 40 years or more. And we have occasional employees who are maybe locals who might just teach ski lessons during the busiest weeks of the year and everything in between. And so it's an incredibly diverse workforce in the composition of the workforce and how they work and the types of jobs that they do. It's an incredibly complicated company. And it what it results in is our tentacles go out into our communities in so many different ways that we have to understand, and we have to to make sure we're making the right decisions, allocating our resources mm-hmm. with the right balance. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and you know, a lot of people think, well, it's just putting butts in chairs, and that just couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
It's actually one of the more integrated, more complicated businesses that's run anywhere.
So you have a, you know, let's continue along that line. You have a business in one of the most environmentally conscious and conscientious regions in the state, country, world, and you've got this company going on. And I know there's a whole culture in Tahoe and among the skiers. They're very passionate about the beauty up there. So you've got to walk a real fine balance between making we skiers happy and people who come from all over the world to these destination locations, and keeping this beautiful mountains, plural, pristine and environmentally friendly. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you just said it.
Okay, next question.
So much work that goes into it. You know, so we start all the way with our company values, and one of our five company values is we preserve our environment to protect our future. Hmm. And so we start all the way there at the very high level, or the very low foundational level, however you want to look at it, with our company values. And then we go from there to talk about what our vision is, how we allocate resources among all of the competing interests that we have, including the environment. And so at Squaw Alpine, we have, you know, transparently, we have a mixed history on environment. And
right.
So this is a developed ski area, two developed ski areas. And so there's been stuff done over time that people took great objection to. And that, you know, in the development of those ski areas.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, as a company, we probably put more effort than other ski areas into cleaning that up and being vital stewards of the environment. And so the environment is at our company value level. It's in the thought about everything that we do. And it's striking that balance between being a developed ski area, which requires us to do things
right,
like put in chairlifts, maintain ski runs, put in infrastructure, mm-hmm. those kinds of things that disturb the environment. We balance those actions with other actions to help us preserve and protect our environment. We probably have the most active erosion control program of any ski area. When you come to Squaw Valley and Alpine Meadows now in the summertime, the hillsides are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's hundreds of acres of wildflowers and an incredibly vibrant ecology. And so that didn't happen by mistake or by accident. Some of those ski runs were, you know, decades ago bulldozed. And without the hard work that goes into restoring the life on those runs, they wouldn't have regenerated, or it would have taken nature much longer to get them to come back to life. And so we're constantly working on you know, benefiting the environment, both on the ground mm-hmm. and in how we advocate for change, you know, in our communities and more broadly.
Well, interestingly, I was reading that before Squaw Valley and Alex Cushing Tahoe was more of a summer resort. And I've been skiing my whole life at Squaw Valley. And we only probably in the last 15 years started going to Tahoe more in the summertime. But interestingly, the creation of Squaw Valley, I was reading, was the beginning of a booming economy with those Olympics all those years ago where there was, one chairlift and lodging for 50 at Squaw Valley, and the whole world watched. I love that.
Yeah, it's funny. You can go further back in the 1850s and 1860s, there were repeated efforts all the way up to the beginning of the 20th century that to try to push the Emigrant Trail, which runs
right
really through the middle of Squaw Valley as an east-west route. And over and over again, the attempts to do that failed. Some other road was viewed to be better for one reason or another, and there was attempt after attempt after attempt, and the only thing that ever actually took hold here was when Wayne and Sandy Polson came in and saw what was here, were able to buy the land, and then convinced Alex Cushing that this was the place to build a ski resort. Mm. And so it really was those discussions that happened really in the 1940s that led to that first chairlift going in 1949.
Well, I get to gush a little bit because I've had the opportunity to ski in all kinds of places. And our kids, when they were little, we would take them up and they would go, "Do we have to go to Tahoe again?" And I'm going, "Do you not realize that the whole world comes here, that this is one of the most premier places of beauty and skiing and nature?" I had the opportunity to interview Johnny Mosley for this podcast, and I asked him, he's really skied all over the world, and I said, "What's your favorite place?" And he says, "I don't even have to say this," because he's from Marin. He says, "It's in my own backyard," and he skied in South America and Asia and Europe and North America. He says, "Why would you go anywhere if you didn't need to, with Squaw Valley and El Palmetto's right there?" And that's just me from the heart, having been raised there just after getting out of diapers and starting to ski at Squaw. But, talk about that. The whole world, it's an internationally known destination in our backyard here in the valley.
That's right. And that brings all of the implications that come with that. So the estimates are that there's something between 20 and, I've heard as much as 24 million people a year who visit the Lake Tahoe region.
Wow.
And so as a business, obviously there's, immense opportunity in that. And that's why you see, so many businesses around here that are, servicing that demand. As a region, it comes with all the challenges of having that level of visitation. There's environmental challenges. There's transportation challenges. There's workforce housing challenges. Mm-hmm. There's workforce challenges. All of those amount to, all of the greatness of having such, such a world-renowned resource, and not just the lake, but the everything that surrounds the lake, mm-hmm. that helps make the lake what it is. It's obviously incredibly beautiful terrain and region, and then all of us who are here, who want to have successful businesses, who want to lead enjoyable lives. And who want to balance that demand, that insatiable demand of the world to come see a place like this and get the feeling of it and have it be the right experience while not driving it into the ground.
Yep.
with too much tourism or the impacts of tourism.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a fine balance. Okay, here are some questions that we as skiers just have. I have you on the phone. So when we're looking at the weather in the morning and it's windy or it's snowing real hard, how do you decide when you're going to close a lift or open it because of the wind or too much snow? Is there a certain miles per hour of wind that you shut down headwall or when it's snowing too hard? Who decides that criteria?
Right. So, the decisions around, mountain operations are typically made by the mountain operations team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, over here at Squaw, we've got Jimmy King, who is our mountain manager and has, worked at the company for some 40 years now, 45, I believe. And he has a huge team around him, head of ski patrol, Will Payton, head of lifts, Chris Wu, head of grooming, Kurt Wilhelmy. And then he's got Casey Bland, who is our senior vice president of mountain operations, who sits over all of that. A similar team over at Alpine Meadows, Jeff Goldstone is our mountain manager, and he leads Ken Boakland, head of ski patrol, Fred Drager, head of lifts, and Brendan Gibbons, who directs a bunch of the outside operations. So all of that team rolls up to Casey, and those decisions are really being made by those, you might call them field generals.
Right.
They're the ones with the experience, the mountain savvy, the judgment, and there's no set rule on anything that makes it any decision clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these environments are incredibly dynamic.
So it's situation by situation.
It has to be, because if a wind that is blowing up and down a chairlift line is entirely different than a wind that's blowing across it.
Oh, okay. No, that makes perfect sense. The squaw dogs, we love them very much. So you have two-legged and four-legged employees, and we dutifully buy shirts every year to take care of your patrol dogs that are so awesome. They're so cool.
It's a fantastic program, and,
uh-huh.
and you know, it's a credit to the patrollers who put in so much work to have that program. And I've been in a couple situations in my career where there's been an inbounds release, and the very first thing that happens is, are the dogs on the way?
Oh, man.
And so that, having them there and having them trained, looking out for all of us, it's incredibly important. And so we're really, we're big advocates of the program and big supporters of the program.
Okay, here's the Ron Cohen, president and COO of Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows Lightning Round. How many days do you get in as the COO and president? This could be a trick. Not enough?
Or two? Not enough.
If you give me too many, we're wondering what you're doing, but about how many days do you get in?
Yeah, I don't know. I probably am out there. Last year, you know, getting to be getting to know this place.
Right.
I had so much on me. I probably only got 40 or 50 days last year.
Only?
I didn't count.
Yeah. Well, we could consider it research since you were new. Do you have a favorite run?
No, I don't.
Yep. What do you do for fun? You run a ski resort, for God's sakes. And what else do you need to do but other hobbies up that way? There's so much to do.
Yeah, no, I'm a mountain person. I love being in the mountains. And so my wife lives still primarily in Mammoth, and we see each other as often as possible. Her job has her travel a fair amount, and mm-hmm. so she gets to come through here on her way to Sacramento. And our free time is really spent doing mountain things. So either downhill skiing, Nordic skiing, hiking. We have a very active, energy-seeking dog. And so every time we can, we get out and run the dog as much as we can. And it's almost all time out in the hills. Our annual vacation, which we typically take in the summer, we usually go halfway across the world to the Alps and go hiking.
More mountains. So,
more mountains.
Well, I am so grateful for you taking the time to talk to me, Ron Cohen. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being the responsible steward of one of my most favorite places in the whole wide world. And I look forward to meeting you one of these times on one of your 40 or 50 days out on the mountain.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for the time and for being such a fan of ours. Look forward to seeing you here.